Jesus. How extraordinary is the love of the Lord Jesus. How amazing your love, which we see in him. How extraordinary that he took my sin and my sorrow to Calvary. But that one day we'll see him in glory, face to face. Thank you for that remarkable love just breaking in to a normal Thursday afternoon. And would you fire us afresh with that love today? In the name of that same Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How marvelous to see you. It's thank you very much for coming. It's great to see you. Welcome to St. Mary Woldeth. And thank you, Chris and James, for leading us in worship, for Ruth for doing the words. There was one marvelous moment in that last when I started that refrain again, and I could see the panic on Chris's face. He thought, you've started it, but on the wrong note. I better come in and try and sort it out. I thought, what a picture of the Holy Spirit. You keep humble, you know, takes our hope, my hopeless efforts and sorts it out. So thank you, Chris, for that. We could have ended up musically in the most surprising position had you not rescued what I attempted to. Sometimes, you know, when the vicar should keep to preaching and not interfere with the music. But it's great to see you and thank you for coming. On December the 16th, Wednesday, December the 16th, we have our joint carol service to Margaret's and us over in St. Margaret's, 1 to 1:30, followed by mulled wine and mince pies, a great opportunity to invite colleagues or people we know from different parts of the city. It is normally standing room only, spite of the fact that each year we put in extra seating and more extra seating. So do put that in your diaries. 16th of December, half an hour's service, traditional carol service, and then mulled wine and mince pie, as much people can have before they have to dash back to work or sense things not being as clear as they were, even though all the alcohol's been, you know, boiled off the mulled wine, but it still has an impact after six glasses. And 16th of December. That will be our last. We won't have something here on the 17th because, of course, musicians are really focused on their own churches then, and we then start on Thursday, the 7th of January. But brilliant. Let me read to you, if I may, a few verses. Next week, there'll be a poster, which I forgot to bring over. I'm so sorry. We had American Thanksgiving here at 11, and there should be a poster on your way out with the notice of the carol sheet. You get that, and there'll be invitation cards next Thursday. May I read a few verses from Mark chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Jesus and his disciples went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been chained, hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he'd cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus in the distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus answered him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went down into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. We had American Thanksgiving here at a service at 11 o'clock, this morning, and those who came to it, and many others besides, are now feasting away in Merchant Taylor's Hall on a really good, I always think of it as English lunch, but the Americans told me it was really American. And it was marvellous for traditional service. We sang Jerusalem, we sang America, America. It was amazing. We had the message from the President of the United States of America read to us. I preached about America and about England and about Jesus Christ, you'll be relieved to know. And it was all very good indeed. We had the world premiere of an anthem based on the Te Deum, half in Latin, half in English, just to emphasize the culture that characterizes St. Mary Woolnoth for most of the time. It was fantastic, and they were all going off to their champagne as they left the church. And I looked at them and I thought, gosh, you are a good lot of people here. I really like you. You come every year and, you sing, and I don't see you again for another 12 months. But, you know, you're always polite at the door and say, oh, lovely service, vicar. And which is the type of thing people say when they, you know, they're suddenly faced with a clergyman of the Church of England and think, what on earth do I say to someone like this? It was similarly yesterday. I've been saying grace for a lunch in Guildhall for a group that I'm chaplain to because I'm vicar of St. Margaret's. Been with them 15 years and I get on with them. We get on with each other. I take their wedding services, baptize their children, do all kinds of things with them, say grace for their dinners, etc. Spend lots of time listening to them. And both yesterday and today, I thought, now then, Lord Jesus, what impact for eternity am I making on these utterly delightful people who I see on these set piece occasions and then bump into on the city streets? We have great conversations. They're very friendly. I, not unsurprisingly, try to be very friendly. And it's a happy time. And I think when I do see you face to face, when the ransomed in glory are there, what will be the impact that I've made as a result of being here in the square mile for quite so long? We want to get on with people. Most of the people that you and I meet most days are really nice. Occasionally some aren't, but most of the time they are. All of us probably thinks at one point or another, what impact am I making for the Lord Jesus Christ on those I see regularly round here? When everything's stripped away, what have I achieved which I shall see the results of in eternity? However, before I begin and you begin to feel as guilty as you could be, in my case, not in yours, you, I know, are very upbeat and clear about your faith. It's clear that the Lord Jesus Christ, in this passage, in this encounter, understands totally how we feel and would want to encourage us. From the day we've just read about, things were not exactly full of potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was facing an impossible situation. We heard about that poor man. He was in a desperate condition. Everything that anyone had tried to do had failed. And I sometimes think, as I talk yet again about what I do as a vicar and what I believe in with people at different times, they look as bored now as they've done for the last 15 years when I've spoken to them. I'm not you, because you're kind, and think, he's a nice man, really, so we look friendly, even if we're mentally putting together the shopping list to be done online tonight. But, you know, they look as bored. I just think, it's impossible. When will I ever get through to you? The Lord Jesus understands impossible situations. He was going over to an unwelcome and possibly hostile context. The region of the Gerasenes were Gentile territory, not the most potentially positive area of work for an untrained young Jewish rabbi. And again, it's sometimes very easy to think with all the diversity to which we must be committed because we're in a global financial center, that actually talking about Jesus Christ and going into places, as I have to go into places from time to time, it's, if not hostile, not exactly warmly welcoming. And there was, astonishingly, and I didn't notice it till last Sunday afternoon, an initial failure by the Lord Jesus. I hadn't ever seen before verse 8, well, I had seen it, but I hadn't really picked it up, for Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Jesus had tried to exorcise him, and something hadn't clicked. Something hadn't worked. Extraordinary that. Fortunately, Jesus isn't like me, though I'm trying to be a little more like him every year. I sometimes think, oh, well, I've tried. Clearly not interested. Clearly not working. I'll move on. Jesus, of course, doesn't do that. Initial failure. I'd have given up. It would all too easily be the end of Jesus's involvement. But he didn't feel awkward or didn't go home back across the lake. He continued. He wanted to change that man's life. He hadn't sought him out. They just met, as you and I meet people every day around here. But Jesus couldn't bear, in spite of the impossibility, in spite of the failure, in spite of the hostility, Jesus couldn't bear to leave him as he was and healed him and freed him. And the result? Everyone who lived locally just wanted Jesus to go away. They'd seen a miracle, but thought this whole religion thing that Jesus was about was just far too complicated. They didn't want to get involved. He could have gone back over that lake and thought, what a waste of a day. What a waste of all that prayer and that particular miracle. But he'd left there a man whose life had been changed, a lone, credible witness to the love of the Lord Jesus in a place where no one else acknowledged him in any way. The man was embedded there, stuck there with incomprehension and hostility. But he also had a confidence. In verse 20 we read, he tried to go home with Jesus and Jesus said no. In verse 20, so the man went away and began to tell in that area how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. They hadn't wanted Jesus. They'd been appalled and afraid at what had happened. But as that lone, credible witness stuck in there, because that's where Jesus told him to stay, even though he didn't want to be there, people began to praise God and be amazed for Jesus. I love his freedom to speak about Jesus, and I love his obedience to remain in a place which he didn't want to be in, because that's where God had told him to be. And it started because Jesus touched him unexpectedly that morning and changed the course of his life. And as I thought about yesterday and today and the difference I make, I think everybody in these things thinks, oh, you're a nice man, but doesn't think much, I sometimes fear, about what I'm trying to say in these talks I give or conversations. I just think, Lord Jesus, make me someone who, by who I am becoming, what people can see in me, and what I say, make me someone who will leave people amazed at you.